Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we're going to talk about, and for the rest of the week, we're going to talk about Barack Obama's czars. We're going to talk about the czars and try to make sense of what Barack Obama's agenda is in appointing all of these czars. What's the reasoning behind it? What's the agenda? We're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about it almost, well, a full week, starting today. Today's date is January 3rd, 2011. Oh my God, it's going to take some getting used to. Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones, Ph.D. All right. What is a czar exactly? Well, a czar is defined this way. Originally, the title czar, derived from Caesar, meant emperor in the European medieval sense of the term. That is, a ruler who claims the same rank as a Roman emperor, with the approval of another emperor or a supreme ecclesiastical official. For example, the Pope or something of that sort, or on that level. Originally, the word could be used to designate other non-Christian supreme rulers, in Russia, for example, in Bulgaria, the imperial connotations of the term were blurred with time. And by the 19th century, it had come to be viewed as an equivalent of king. Well, now to be fair, Obama did not invent the position of czar in Washington. Many presidents have had them. However, he appears to be on the verge of appointing yet another czar to his already large family of czars, and in so doing will own the title of president with the most czars. As stated in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, the Obama administration plans to appoint a special master for compensation to ensure that companies receiving federal bailout funds are abiding by executive pay guidelines, according to people familiar with the matter. Now, the administration is expected to name Kenneth Feinberg, who oversaw the federal government's compensation funds for victims of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack. He's to act as a pay czar for the Treasury Department, these people said. Now, make no mistake, he knows exactly what he's doing. This is a first-rate power grab by a power-hungry president. You see, the great thing about czars is that they operate with impunity, and they are under the radar, as it were. When it comes to making policy, they are accountable to absolutely no one except the administration. So, in effect, we have non-elected officials who are backed by the White House, who are given the tools and resources to do the bidding of the president, and they're accountable to no one, nobody, no one except the president. These czars don't have to undergo Senate confirmation hearings. They just get appointed. So as long as we're going to be serving all of these kings, we should at least know who they are, in case we need to bow to them at some point. Here's the following list of Obama's czars, or kings. Energy czar, Carol Browner. Urban czar, are you kidding me? Adolf Carrion Jr. Infotech czar, Vivek Kundra. Faith-based czar, I'm about to vomit. So, if I do, please excuse me. Joshua Du Bois. Health reform czar, Nancy Ann DePerl. New TARP czar, Herb Allison. Stimulus accountability czar, Earl Devaney, and based on what we're seeing with the stimulus, which isn't stimulating anything at all, he should be fired by now. But apparently he's still operating. Non-proliferation czar, Gary Seymour. Terrorist, although they don't use that word. Czar, John Brennan, terrorism czar. Regulatory czar, Case Sustein. Drug czar, Gil Kerbalowski. Guantanamo closure czar, Daniel Fred. So there you have it, Obama's kings. Does anyone know anything about these people? Guess what? That's the point of this show. That's the point of this show for the rest of the week. barring anything really, really serious going on in the world, that's the show for the rest of the week. If we have some breaking events or news events, we'll talk about those instead. But at this point, we're going to shed some light on each and every one of Obama's czars. Now, you don't know them, so they're anonymous until this show. Because being anonymous, well, it's easy to get things done when you're anonymous. Anonymous and unaccountable and invisible. This is what your president, Barack Hussein Obama, has wrought. Folks, you elected this guy, and he has a serious power grab going on. Now, let's go by administration. We're going to go ahead and start in 1933 with Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt's number of czars were 11. Number of appointees, 19. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 17. Harry Truman, 1945 to 1953, had 6 czars. Number of appointees, 6. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 5. Dwight Eisenhower, Republican. Harry Truman and Franklin Roosevelt were Democrats. 1953 to 1961, he had 1 czar. Number of appointees, 1. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 0. Lyndon Johnson, Democrat, 1963 to 1969. Number of czars, 3. Number of appointees, 3. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 1. Richard Milhouse Nixon, 1969 to 1974. Number of czar titles, 3. Number of appointees, 5. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 5. Gerald Ford, 1974 to 1977. 2 czars. Number of appointees, 2. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 2. Jimmy Carter, 1977 to 1981, and thank God that was over. Number of czar titles, 2. Number of appointees, 3. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 2. Ronald Wilson Reagan, the greatest president of all of the list so far, 1981 to 1989, 1 czar, 1 appointee. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 1. George Herbert Walker Bush, 1989 to 1993, 2 czars. Number of appointees, 3. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 0. Bill Clinton, total number of czars, 8. Number of appointees, 11. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 7. George Walker Bush, 2001 to 2009. Number of czars, 32. number of appointees 47. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate 27. Barack Hussein Obama, 2009. Hopefully, we'll be able to put a 2012 at the end of that. 39 czar titles. By far the most so far. Appointees, number 44. Appointees not confirmed by the Senate, 33. What have we here, folks, is the ultimate power grab. Now, why do we need all of these czars? Well, I tend to believe that President Obama is in way out of his depth, and that he is basically a very lazy man who wants to live the good life as president. He doesn't really want to work very hard. He doesn't really want to have to do anything, because, as I've indicated in previous shows, I believe that President Obama is not at all as smart as he's being played up to be. I believe that President Obama is like the wizard in The Wizard of Oz, all-seeing, all-powerful, all-knowing, but really just a tired, scared, skinny little man who doesn't really have the depth, the gravitas, and the intellect that we have been led to believe. He's not at all a very smart man. He has people around him who will do his bidding, who know far more than he does. The reason for the many czars that Obama has is so that Obama can have his finger in every pie to do things that he doesn't really have the intellect or the capacity to do. It's a massive power grab, and a way for Obama to put his imprint on every single aspect of our daily lives. Now, Republicans will have President Barack Obama's czars and his use of regulatory powers to circumvent congressional inaction on issues such as cap and trade and GOP crosshairs when the party takes control in January, just a few days from now. Since taking office, Obama has named the many czars that I have indicated. Without Senate confirmation and congressional oversight, and together they hold power over everything from the environment and bank bailouts to the auto industry. Now, the president's practice of naming czars has garnered criticism from members of his own party, such as the late West Virginia Democrat Senator Robert Byrd, who called the use of President Obama's czars unconstitutional. When the Republicans are in charge, we're going to see the Oversight Subcommittee of the Energy and Commerce Committee active on a whole host of fronts. Now, Representative Fred Upton from Michigan, Republican, who likely would chair the subcommittee if the president takes, when the Republicans take control just a few days from now, we're going to find out how all these czars are funded. So whether it be the authorizing committees and appropriations committees in terms of deleting the funds for those, I think we could go after it in one of two different ways. Now, it's time to hold Obama and his czars accountable for what they are trying to promulgate with rules and regulations. the relevant congressional oversight committees have not exercised close oversight over the czars and other administration regulatory efforts during the last 2 years, but Upton plans to change that in January this month by regularly subpoenaing administration officials. Well, one of the great things about Republicans taking over Congress in just a couple of days is that, on Wednesday as a matter of fact, is that they'll be able to cut off funding for these kings, czars, and basically put them out of a job. So basically they'll go line by line, page by page, through the line items they happen to fund. For a lot of these programs, they're not sure where they got authorized. So why are we spending money for these czars? So the president's czars need to justify why they are appointed and why they continue to have jobs that frequently overlap work done by previously existing government officials. So you have government officials who already have these jobs, but then you have czars who are doing the same jobs and being paid a handsome sum of money. Yes, I couldn't agree with Blues Unchanged more about President Obama. I think if Republicans really focus on this, that they have a duty to oversee all the federal spending in each of our committee jurisdictions. We have a $1.5 trillion deficit this year. And getting this house, our fiscal house, in order is going to require removing a great many of Obama's czars. Now, why? The question remains, why does Obama employ so many czars? The bailout czar, the God czar. President Obama appoints enough czars to impress a Russian nobleman. Maybe he's just worried about fending off socialism accusations. Maybe he just likes delegating. But President Obama has been appointing czars at a furious rate since taking office. While the czar-ness of various executive branch positions is somewhat ambiguous, one man's czar is another man's special assistant to the president. By our count, Obama has appointed at least, well, we've gone over it. We've gone over the number of czars that President Obama has put into play. And over the course of the rest of the week, we're going to pick them out one by one. So far, President Obama has put into play 39 czars. The strange practice of naming American officials after 19th century Russian rulers dates back to at least Franklin Roosevelt's administration, when various wartime administrators were handed the title by the media. The administration of the Office of Price Administration, Leon Henderson, for example, was depicted as in cartoons as Czar of Prices. Richard Nixon's energy czars, John Love and William Simon, gave the term new life in 1970. And Congress creation of a drug czar position in the 1980s continued the trend. At one point in 2004, Representative Henry Waxman asked the General Accounting Office to offer an opinion on whether the popular use of the term drug czar, violated American law as an unlawful self-aggrandization. The GAO's general counsel determined that the phrase was legitimate, as it had become popularized in the press and did not originate in the government itself. Since you can't tell Obama's czars apart without a program, I provided a rundown of some of the most prominent and the government fiefdoms they command, and we'll talk about those over the course of the week. Now, Alan Bernstein, who happens to be the border czar, well, President Obama appointed him only recently. And his job is to try to stem the flow of guns and drugs across the U.S.-Mexico border. Bernstein's claim to fame is Operation Gatekeeper, a major border crackdown on the San Diego area border in 1994 that he helped coordinate while working from a similar position in the Clinton administration. The policy diverted immigration or immigrant crossings away from San Diego, but also drew harsh condemnation from human rights groups, which blamed an increase in deaths among migrants. You know, I think almost anyone can become a czar in the Obama administration. It's not so easy to fully comprehend why this man does what he does, because it seems to me that he is the best way for him to get his hands in each piece of every pie is to appoint people without congressional oversight being part of the process. For example, Steve Rattner, which we'll get into during the course of the week. He is the car czar. Now, he's the most troubled of Obama's many picks, thanks to a kickback scandal that was just recently resolved. He's a former New York Times journalist and investment banker. He was picked by Obama to oversee the government's effort to rescue America's failing car companies. Rattner was reportedly behind the White House's recent decision to demand General Motors' Rick Wagoner resign as CEO, the first time a president has demanded the resignation or a presidential administration has demanded the resignation of a CEO of any company. The first time in American history. Earlier this month, it came to light that the SEC, that the SEC and New York State Attorney General Andrew Cuomo, who is now governor of New York, were investigating Mr. Rattner. So we have the car czar, Steve Rattner, the border czar. You know, I've been in business for a while, and I was a Marine for quite a long while, and it seems to me the people who really have no idea what they're doing appoint other people. Now, we're in a fiscal crisis here in America. We can't pay our bills. We're going to have to consider raising our debt ceiling in just a few days or within the next coming 2 weeks. And here we are appointing czar after czar after czar after czar at a cost of somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000 to $250,000 a year for each czar. And these men are and women are basically part-time employees. They're not 9-to-5ers. They're salaried people who have other responsibilities outside the government, who basically have titles, and every once in a while they'll go into an office at the executive branch and issue an order to someone. They are accountable to no one. No one. Does this bother anyone? Is anyone bothered by the list of czars? We have the Afghanistan czar, Richard Holbrooke. The AIDS czar, Jeffrey Crowley. The auto recovery czar, Ed Montgomery. The border czar, Alan Bernson, who we just mentioned. The California water czar, David Hayes. The car czar, Ron Blum. Central Region Czar, Dennis Ross. Domestic Violence Czar, Lynn Rosenthal. Drug Czar, Gil Karlowski. Economic Czar, Paul Volcker. Energy and Environment Czar, Carol Browner. Faith-Based Czar, Joshua Du Bois. Great Lakes Czar, Cameron Davis. Green Job Czar, Van Jones, who has been discredited and booted. Guantanamo Closure Czar, Daniel Fried. I've read these all off to you. Are you kidding me? At a cost of $100,000 to $250,000 a year for these fools. What is going on? Well, we're about to get to the bottom of all of this. Because the Republican Congress has labeled Barack Obama's administration the most corrupt presidency, the most corrupt administration in a very long time. The incoming House Oversight and Government Reform Chairman on Sunday tried to clarify his recent remarks to Rush Limbaugh, when he called President Obama one of the most corrupt presidents in modern times. Representative Daryl Issa said he meant to say that Obama's administration instead of the president. So still, if President Obama's administration is in fact one of the most corrupt administrations, then Obama's administration, Obama himself, is corrupt. Obama handpicked each and every one of these so-called czars. He has these czars at his employ, at taxpayer dollar dime, whatever you want to call it. These are his people. So if they are corrupt and what they're doing is corrupt, then the president himself is corrupt. When you hand out $1 trillion in troubled asset relief program money just before this president came in, and most of it's unspent, $1 trillion nearly in stimulus that this president asked for, plus this huge expansion in health care and government, it has a corrupting effect. Although the TARP program passed in 2008 intended to strengthen the financial sector by purchasing assets from financial institutions, although it was passed by Congress under the Bush administration, ISIS said the unregulated funds were used by Obama like presidential earmarks. One really has to wonder what kind of moron we're dealing with. Or is he a mad genius? Huh. A czar. So many czars with dubious connections. This week, we are going to focus our attention on each czar individually. But right now, the first czar we're going to start with today is Obama's science czar, John Holdren, who really, if you ever look at a picture of him, he looks like a bum. They used to call him hobos. No, they used to call him hobos, then they call him bums. And then they were homeless people or employed challenged or something. Well, this night we're going to discuss Obama's, quote, science czar, end quote. John Holdren served on the board of editors of a magazine whose personnel were accused of providing vital nuclear information that helped the Soviet Union build an atomic bomb. That's just number one. The magazine Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist has a long history of employing socialist and communist sympathizers, including during the time of Holdren's employment in 1984. Holdren is assistant to the President for Science and Technology, director of the White House's Office of Science and Technology Policy, and co-chairman of the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. That's his job. He's got a lofty title, a big, long title. This guy is one piece of work. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists began publishing regularly in 1945 when it was founded by former physicists from the Manhattan Project, which developed the first atomic bomb. Two of the magazine's founding sponsors, Leo Szilard and my main man, Robert Oppenheimer, I look up to him, he's one of my favorite people, even though he had a dubious personal life and some other glaring issues. Nevertheless, these two, Leo Szilard and Robert Oppenheimer, were accused of passing information from the Manhattan Project to the Soviets. Both were also key initiators of the Manhattan Project. Well, this is the guy we're going to focus on for the rest of the week. All week long, we're going to talk about some of the craziness that this guy has put forth, both past and present. Because he is some piece of work. He has been a longtime climate change alarmist who has advocated ideas such as enforcing limits to world population growth. Abort your babies. Don't make any more, because having children, well, that's going to destroy the planet. That's what he thinks. He said so much. Having too many children is bad for the environment. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about these lunatics. Holdren's name was in an email, variety of emails, hacked from the Climate Research Unit in East Anglia University in the UK, which show that some climate researchers declined to share their data with fellow scientists, conspiring to rig data and sought to keep researchers from dissenting views from publishing in leading scientific journals, basically a cover-up. Holdren has endorsed surrender of sovereignty to a comprehensive planetary regime, what in the hell does that mean? It doesn't sound good. Well, here's what it means. This comprehensive planetary regime would control all the world's resources. So no country would have sovereignty. There would be no sovereign United States or UK or any country. There'd be no borders. Remember we talked about open borders? Where that spooky dude, George Soros? Well, we got another one here. Holdren has endorsed surrender of sovereignty to a comprehensive planetary regime. I had no choice but to repeat it because I want you to understand what that means. This planetary, comprehensive planetary regime, or CPR, would control all the world's resources, direct global redistribution of wealth, oversee the redevelopment of the West, control a world army, and taxation regime, and enforce world population limits. This is a man that President Barack Obama has as his chief science czar, the man who counsels him on a daily basis. This guy is being paid out of my tax dollars. And these are his views. The guy is a communist, a Marxist, and a very dangerous man. Did you think that when you voted for President Obama that he would put people like this in control of anything without congressional oversight, answering to no one but the president himself? Did you believe in your wildest dreams that when you went into the ballot booth and pressed the button or poked the little hole or whatever it is you did, that you would be voting for a man who would put people like this in office, or rather in power? This sounds fantastic, doesn't it? It sounds like, what did you just say? You're saying to yourself right now, what did this guy just say? Is this true? Or is this some conspiracy nut that I'm listening to right now? Some crackpot. You're thinking right now that you're listening to a guy who is unhinged, who doesn't know what he's talking about, but I challenge you to do your research. I challenge you to prove what I just said is wrong in any way you can. Because by me issuing this challenge, you're going to go and do your research and find out that what I'm saying is true. Most of what I get comes from the person's own mouth anyway. So if they're lying, if I'm lying, that means they're lying to themselves and to you. Because this is stuff that they've talked about on many, many occasions. The redevelopment of the West, what does that mean? Control a world army and taxation regime and enforce world population limits. This is what this guy wants to do. He is the science czar for the President of the United States, handpicked by the President of the United States, not picked by a committee, not approved by Congress, not appointed by one of Obama's minions. And Obama, I don't know this guy. We never met. He was appointed by one of my aides. No, this person was appointed by the president himself. Holdren also collaborated with conspiracy theorist Paul Ehrlich, author of The Population Bomb, in which it proclaimed, "The battle to feed all of humanity is over. The world will undergo famines. Hundreds of millions of people are going to starve to death." Holdren also predicted 1 billion people will die in carbon dioxide-induced famines in the coming new ice age by 2020. Now, is this guy a loon? Or does he really believe this stuff? And why is he working for the president? And why are we paying him with tax dollars? Put the pieces of the puzzle together, folks. Holdren based his predictions on a theory that human emissions of carbon dioxide would produce a climate catastrophe, causing global cooling with a consequent reduction in agricultural production, resulting in widespread disaster. So what he's saying, folks, is that people breathing, walking around on this planet will cause a catastrophe simply by existing. And walking around breathing will cause an agricultural disaster, which will wind up killing a billion people. So basically what he's saying is a billion people are born, and the fact that they exist will cause a billion more to die. Now, Holdren also argued, though, that global warming might cancel global cooling. It's called eco-science, population, resources, and environment. Holdren and co-authors Paul and Annie Ehrlich argued on page 67 that a man-made warming trend might cancel out a natural cooling trend. What the hell is going on with these folks? And why do these folks work for the President of the United States? This is the person we're focusing on today. I'm going to give you a full report on each and every czar and give you an idea of what is happening in Washington and who is actually running the show in Washington. It's a shadow government. And here's what we're dealing with in this administration. Folks, this is the man that you voted for. If you did not vote for him, all the more power to you. You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy warned Obi-Wan Kenobi while approaching the fictional Mos Eisley spaceport in Star Wars. Remember that? Some of you didn't see it. For many Americans, the closest thing on planet Earth to the famous Star Wars bar scene, teeming with all its bizarre and wretched creatures, is Obama's White House, with its ever-growing menagerie of radical, unaccountable, and utterly weird czars advising the President of the United States. Do I need to stress that even more? People like regulatory czar Case Sustein, who defends the removal of organs from terminally ill patients without their permission, or Obama's choice for school safety czar, gay activist Kevin Jennings, who actually pioneered the practice of introducing homosexual advocacy into public schools by disguising it as school safety or science czar, John Holdren, who we just discussed, who has advocated sterilizing welfare recipients and seizing babies born to unwed mothers, and predicting 1 billion people would die in carbon dioxide-induced famines caused by the coming ice age. We just went over that. This is what your president, Barack Hussein Obama, has perpetrated on you. These are the people that he has employed with taxpayer funds. Are you embarrassed yet? How's that hope and change working out for you? Now, those are just the ones I've already spoken about. I haven't even gotten deep into it. There's dozens more, and you will meet them all up close and personal on this show for the rest of the week. And it's going to be titled, my show is going to be titled, The Shadow Government Inside the Mad, Crazy, Whacked Out World of Obama's Czars. You'll meet people like Equal Employment Opportunity Commissioner nominee Child Feinblum, who endorses polygamy, and AIDS czar Jeffrey S. Crowley, both openly homosexual. And in fact, the Gay and Lesbian Leadership Institute boasts on its website that at least 60 gay leaders have secured spots in Obama's administration. Not that I give a damn about their sexual preference, because I do not. But their agenda concerns me. Now, we're going to talk about each and every one of these folks. We're going to talk about Patrick Gephardt, officially the director of the Office of Political Affairs, but who critics call Acorn's man in the White House. And we're going to talk about Defense Policy Advisor Rosa Brooks, a George Soros-trained ideologue and anti-military radical who urged the prosecution of President George W. Bush and President Vice President Dick Cheney for war crimes. And we're going to talk about FCC diversity czar Mark Lloyd, who believes the so-called fairness doctrine, unanimously repealed by the FCC in 1987, was never repealed. He wants to destroy conservative talk radio, and he also described Marxist dictator Hugo Chavez's rise to power in Venezuela as an incredible revolution. We're going to talk about it all. The list goes on and on. We're going to talk about each and every czar. Each and every czar. And in so doing, we're going to reveal the true nature of the Obama administration, its true agenda, what he really wants to do with this country, how he wants to fundamentally transform the United States of America, not out of the free market system, out of the free system that we have here, where you can do what you want, say what you want, be what you want, into a government-controlled, radical, Marxist, communist, socialist country where everything you do and say is controlled by the government. This is the president that you elected, folks. This is the guy whose butt you kiss on a regular basis. Oh, he's so handsome. Oh, he's so glib. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, we just love him. Whose personal approval rating is still in the high 60s. Folks love the guy. Oh, he's so well-spoken. Oh, he's so funny. We'll see how funny he is if he gets his way. Right now, we are lucky that the American people spoke up in November and decided to not put a stop to it, because you can't put a stop to the guy until we get him out of here in 2012. But we are slowing him down a little bit, because the Republican Congress can defund some of these czars, not pay their little butts, send them on their merry way, or get some idea of why they have the jobs they have and what they plan to do while in them. With a Republican-controlled Congress, we can cut the funding off for a lot of what Obama wants to do. But we can't completely stop him. He's got to go in 2012. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about each and every czar. And in so doing, once again, get into the mindset of the president himself and what his true intents are for this country. We have not seen the likes of this type of presidency since Franklin Roosevelt. This guy wants complete and utter control of this great country. Oh, he'll smile and he'll tell a joke and he'll laugh and he'll he. And he'll act like he's one of the boys or try to, which he's not. But he has a plan for this country, and it's not good. And we're going to reveal it by talking about each and every one of his czars in great detail. Have you seen the latest gas prices? Have you gone to the gas station this morning? Have you gone over to the grocery store? Even Walmart's prices are skyrocketing. Why are gas prices going up so high? And didn't President Obama warn us that under his plan of cap and trade, that many of the services we use would necessarily skyrocket? This is the President of the United States. And under his plan of cap and trade, electric bills, fuel oil, anything that we use that has anything to do with power and gas will skyrocket. Is that the man you voted for? Where are you getting this money from to pay for skyrocketing fuel oil and skyrocketing electricity and anything else you use in your daily lives? Where are you sacrificing all this jack from just to have this moron in the White House? Just to say that you have a black president in the White House. You can say, I got a black man in the White House and your pockets are empty and then sending you to the poorhouse. You're going to be homeless soon because your love for this moron we have in the White House. His personal approval ratings are still at an all-time high, even though most of Americans do not agree with his policies. How the hell does that happen? How do you have a personal approval rating and be likable when you're sending folks to the poorhouse left and right? You're going to bankrupt this country, but yet people like you? I'm starting to wonder whether or not those poll numbers are making any sense. There are people all across this country who worship this man as if he were a god, a rock star, but we're going to put an end to it all. We're going to talk about it. We're going to bring you the news. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. In the meantime, I'm going to say goodnight, because tomorrow we're going to get started with the next czar on our list of czars, what they're all about, and what Obama's all about, because that's really what it's all about. So I want to wish y'all a happy night, happy new year once again, and let's get this party started tomorrow when we start talking about all these lunatic czars. Y'all have a great night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.